Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Hey, 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 how y'all doing? It's your girl, Didi Leggett, a.k.a. The Core Queen. I am back finally, y'all, with another episode of The Core Queen Chat. And I have one of the most amazing men on this side of the Mississippi on my show tonight, Mr. Christian Winters. Hey, Christian.
Didi Leggett. Miss Leggett, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. How are you up there on the East Coast in PA all day?
Hot, busy, and it's just life. You know, we do these podcasts and it's all, it looks good, but then when we get off these things, we got things to do.
Whew, so, the things.
Doing things, you know.
The things. Yeah. Look, y'all, for those of you who do not know who Christian is, I'm going to give y'all a little background because he's pretty daggone impressive, okay? And I want y'all to know that I don't just be talking to just any old body. He's that guy. He kind of is that guy. I'm just saying. I mean, you know, even though he be talking bad about Bristol, my city, my hometown, I'll give him a pass today, though. But Christian Winters is a visionary global thinker, best-selling author, and leading voice on rediscovering purpose, healing, and identity. With degrees in education, philosophy, and organizational leadership, Christian has empowered lives across continents, speaking at universities, leadership summits, and faith gatherings from South America to Australia into India and throughout Africa. His work dismantles cultural and emotional barriers, offering men a path to healing, truth, and transformation. Through powerful storytelling and practical wisdom, Christian continues to awaken hearts and restore hope worldwide. Christian, we appreciate the work that you do, and thank you for being on the platform today.
I'm so embarrassed.
Why are you embarrassed?
I don't like any of that stuff.
Whatever, that's what you've done. That's who you are.
Yeah.
Oh, cut it out.
All right, moving on. What are we talking about?
Okay, Christian, before yes, we ma'am. Get started, you know I'm very transparent, and I just don't ever like to be fake or phony. So before we get started on our topics for today, I just want to make sure that I send... I acknowledge my cousin who is on life support right now. Her name is Alyssa Leggett. She is my first cousin. This is like the one of the most shocking, hurtful, heartbreaking experiences that we're going through right now as a family. Shout out to her mom, Christine, for being so strong. I can't even imagine what she's going through right now and having to make a decision to take her off of life support tomorrow. I absolutely love Alyssa. She is such a sweetheart, such a sweetheart. A couple years ago, I did a cousin's weekend and when she came down, I got to spend some time with her. And we just had so much fun. And it's just heartbreaking to see a 24-year-old leave this earth so soon. Christine, I'm praying for you. I've been talking to you all week and just trying to be as encouraging as I can. And I do have the GoFundMe going across my screen right now for anybody that can help, because she's been out of work this whole time. Of course, her bills don't stop. She's still going to need help with, you know, with everything. So if anybody can help, just please give if you can. It's on my page. It's on my stories. Her name is Alyssa Leggett. Please say her name. Send up a prayer. Send some positive light to her mom. She is my uncle's daughter. His name is Andre Leggett. So y'all, if you have it in you, even if you don't believe in God, whatever you believe in, just send it out there. Put some positive energy out there for her mom. Wrap your arms around her virtually and help her get through such a horrible, horrible, horrible time. We love you, Alyssa. Now that I've got that done, I'm glad I got through it without crying, because that wasn't that easy. But I want to talk about something that is, that I think is important. And I think it may cause some controversy. I don't know. It may or may not. You know, I don't care if you do or not. But I definitely want to talk about some trauma that the church has caused. My first question to you, Christian, is, do you believe that the church causes trauma and hurt? Do you believe that exists?
Yes, absolutely it does. I mean, anytime you're dealing with people, you're dealing with human trauma. I think what happens in churches is that no one wants to admit that trauma. We put a spiritual spin on everything, so not to look at it for what it is. And so we go on hurting people and then laying hands on them instead of apologizing. Ooh, it's the basic things that that we do to just gloss over. You know, you can't spiritualize everything. And I think we've done too much of that. Even addressing trauma, we spiritualize that. You know, I believe in all the sacred things, the altar and the oil and this and that. But sometimes talking to someone, sometimes apologizing is what gets you there. And like I used to always say in my preaching days, I'm a retired preacher now, but you know, I can't hear you talk to me or hear you speak in tongues in church and then want to cuss me out in English. It just don't make sense to me. Yeah. And I'm not talking about perfection. I'm just talking about being a good human being. We got a lot of people. In fact, it reminds me of what Gandhi said. Gandhi said, I love your Christ, but I can't stand your Christians.
Ooh.
Yeah. So.
Listen. Now that was a bar, Christian. That was a bar.
I could drop the mental beat.
Yes. I agree. And one of the things when it comes to church hurt that really frustrates me the most is that I've heard it a lot where they say the church doesn't hurt you, people hurt you. Well, isn't the church people? Isn't that what that is? Aren't like, how was there a church without people?
We conveniently pick the parts we want to say. You know, we had the cliche that the people are the church, but if somebody hurts you in the church, no, that's not the church. It's we do surgery again to keep our little spiritual tent thing we have going on instead of just being truthful. The most spiritual thing you can ever do is be truthful. Because it's the hardest thing for anyone to do in the earth. The most spiritual thing you can do, you have to come outside of yourself to apologize. Because the Bible says the heart of a man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? So all of our hearts are desperately wicked. In order to get out of that wickedness, you got to leave yourself. And no one wants to leave themselves. We want to soothe ourselves. You know, and that's what sermonizing and stuff does. That's why they soothe people. Touch your neighbor. Tell them you're about to be blessed when actually they're living a curse. We just, you know.
Christian, where's the plate? Where is the plate? I need to tithe right now.
Buy this book. All the answers right here in this book right here.
Listen, so you said something that, and I thought, okay. Look, I know this ain't about me, but it's going to be about me for this 1 second. Mm-hmm. So you just mentioned that in the sermon, it's soothing. And so they're saying these certain things like turn to your neighbor, touch your neighbor. When I tell you, I don't know what it is, but it literally bothers me. Mm-hmm. when I go to church and they do that, it disturbs my spirit. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do that. Like, yeah. I really just want the word. I don't want the theatrics. Mm-hmm. I don't want the pomp and circumstance. I really just want the word. So when you just said that really just resonated so loudly, and I couldn't put those pieces together, mm-hmm. to figure out, why is this bothering me so much? But that's what it was. That's what it is.
Yeah, because it's entertainment. Mm. And when someone comes to get a word, they don't want to be entertained. So touching your neighbor and jump up on your feet and do three spins and, you know, it's entertainment. So I can't do entertainment, because I've seen people be entertained but can't get their life together. There's too many mentally ill and suicidal people sitting right there for us to keep on entertaining each other. I mean, and we can't find it scripturally. You know, I would venture to say 90% of the things we see done in church, you can't find in scripture.
Ooh,
I'll give you a quick example. This last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
On the day of Pentecost, people were in a building. God sent a spirit, and then they went outside. You never heard about that building, that 120 people that was in that building on Pentecost. Mm-hmm. You never heard about that building again, because people went outside and start ministering to the city they were in. Now, why are we dressing up on white, shouting and dancing like a bunch of fools on a Sunday? That's not even biblical. They went outside and did ministry. I put up a post this week on Facebook. If you shout inside your church this Sunday and don't go outside this church on Pentecost Sunday, you absolutely fail.
Christian.
But we love our silly traditions.
Ooh, come on. You better listen.
As if God, the Bible says God will wink at this stuff. Mm. All this stuff is in the same book we preach from. We think God is pleased, and God is far from pleased. Because somebody can be satisfied and not pleased. Satisfied enough not to destroy you, but not pleased with you.
Man, listen. Because it was all over my timeline. You know, the white, they got the white thing. I'm like, this look like a cult to me. I'm sorry. I don't like it. It's too much for me. I don't even know what's happening, what's going on in here. It just seemed like a lot of performing.
That's what we've become.
Performing.
Performance, but you know, because we're more about packing buildings than changing lives.
Ooh, Jesus. You better
preach.
If
entertainment is what it takes to keep the bills paid, and you know, $100 line and $50 line, and the pastor don't gotta believe in God. He just gotta believe in the congregation, at least the congregation to believe in God.
Mm. Well, you stepping on some toes today.
Well, I've been doing this a long time. I opened that Bible at 14, so I don't joke around with this thing. I've been around the world. I've seen things that church people haven't seen. So when you really get out there and you see in foreign lands and in small places where people are dying, I've preached in a leprosy colony in India, so I can't come home and then play American church.
Ooh wee.
You see what I'm saying?
My God.
I've been all around this world in very scary places. I never chose the beautiful thing. I went the worst places, because if it was missions, it was missions. And when you see what God is doing around the world, and you see just how far the American church has spread from what God desires at all. So I can't come home and entertain people. I can't.
Well, so can you explain in your words what church hurt means to you?
Church hurt is a false concept.
Okay.
It's not even real.
Explain.
Now listen, if our mission is to do the Great Commission, mm-hmm. which is what Jesus only left us with one thing to do, and that was the Great Commission. It wasn't all this other stuff we're doing. The Great Commission means go into the highways and the hedges, compel people to come, love the unlovable, give extraordinarily, just be outside of yourself and change the world by your love.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, if we were doing that, we wouldn't experience church hurt. The reason why we experience church hurt is because we're all sitting in church together. I couldn't hurt you if we were out doing missions. You don't see people hurting each other out doing the work of Christ. You only see people hurting each other sitting there battling over who sits where and what title you have, how long you've been here, and have you. that's when we get hurt. Church hurt wouldn't even exist if we were doing the work of Jesus Christ. Mm. We're doing the work of traditional church. We create a place where people will always get hurt. If we're not sitting here together, we can't get hurt.
Is somebody... Oh, I'm sorry, hold on. Sure. Can you get my key out of my purse? Is somebody here to pick up their book? It's in my car. So, okay. So let me ask you this then. Do you... Okay, so you kind of gave a sort of a definition, because if dang, he banging hard. If it was a thing, if in the church there are things being done that are hurting people, it's in my, in the black purse. In, yeah. If there are things that are happening in the church, if it could be, it's by itself. And let's say, okay, like you just mentioned, I want this title. We're going to fight over that. If that's a certain level of hurt, what would you, because I've experienced church hurt and it didn't necessarily have anything to do with like titles or fighting or anything like that. I was actually hurt by somebody in the church.
Okay.
Who did something to me as a child. And had I not, like you said, been in that church, I don't know if it would happen or not, because it didn't happen necessarily in the church. But because we were going to that church, that allowed my mother to trust that person with her children because of the church structure. And then that way, now I'm like, okay, now I'm apprehensive. I probably got a little trauma, PTSD from that. And I just don't trust in that way anymore. So that's the kind of trauma or hurt that I have from the church. Would you put that in the same construct as what you just described? If we're not in the church, you won't experience that kind of hurt.
Well, I think the term church hurt, people have just used it, and not in your situation and not in some others, but I think some people have used church hurt as a place of victimization, where they just say the church hurt me. When somebody has hurt you, that person hurt you. And I think we just need to start defining for what it really is. That person hurt you. That person could have been in the masjid and did the same thing, or that person could have been in the Jewish synagogue and did the same. That person hurt you. You don't hear about synagogue hurt. You don't hear about masjid hurt.
Right.
We just go church hurt. No, this person hurt you. And I think that we got to redefine what this church hurt thing it really is. Most people can't define it other than somebody hurt me in church. And that's not a real definition, because somebody can hurt you anywhere. A person hurt you.
I like this. Simple Love 444 said, church hurt, the word itself is misappropriated. It's actually abuse. Most often abuse of power. I agree. I think that's a more appropriate way of what I experienced anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, we just call it church hurt because it's easy to call it that. You know, we don't call it bar hurt.
Right.
Football team hurt. Well, I've been hurt a lot of places. We've all been hurt a lot of places. Church hurt is just, I don't know. I don't think it has a true definition. I think we just got
to start. I think one of the things with the church in particular, though, I will have to push back a little bit on that.
Sure.
Especially in the black community. Is because we put so much of our trust in the black church. So, and specifically for like single moms, like that's like a guiding light for the black community, black moms. That's something that we just gravitate to. So those types of, I don't want to call them cults, organizations, I think they, I don't want to say they prey on weaker people.
Absolutely, they do.
Well, yeah. And I think that may be where the church hurt concept comes from. Because in my growing up, I mean, I have my grandma, my mom, like it's generations passed down of this is just what we're going to do. We're going to go to these places. We're going to do these things. And that's just what it is.
Right. So how about the bigger battle to fight is to redefine what a church is?
I agree. And that's why I don't go. I'm sorry.
Me too. I agree. I you know, because if we redefine what a church is, then that's not church hurt. That's a place where somebody allowed this person to thrive. This pervert, this mean person, they allowed this person to thrive. That's not a church. We can't define that as a church.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it's not to say that people in there are going to be perfect, but somebody is going to check that person. The Bible even shows us how to check that person if somebody goes wrong. So if somebody's, if there's always chaos and people always getting hurt, then we can't keep calling that a church.
Mm.
So then that flips the whole thing upside down about what church hurt is. Because that wasn't a church. That was a cult. That was a group. That was a bag.
Mm.
It's a whole lot of other stuff. Just because people gather and sing church songs don't make it a church.
Uh-oh.
That's why when church folks say, you don't go to church, the Bible says forsake not the fellowship of the brethren. Well, I know this Bible back and forth. You can't trick me with this Bible.
Mm.
It says forsake not the fellowship of the brethren. That means I'm not going to go in a place where they ain't my brethren.
Mm.
They religious fools. They ain't my brethren. So don't tell me I got to go be with them. They not my brethren. So when I find my brethren, then I'm at church. And that can be in my studio. That can be in your studio. That can be in your living room because I found my brethren. Mm-hmm. The Bible didn't say gather with fools.
Mm. Come on now.
The Bible said brethren. So I'll go where my brethren is. I'm not going where fools are. So
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
So do you believe that the church has been more helpful or harmful to the Black community?
I think it changed over years.
Mm.
When you go back to the 40s, 50s and 60s,
mm-hmm.
it was very helpful because what they were doing then, church history, they were building community. They were building safe places, just like the book of Acts. The Bible says in the book of Acts, nobody needed anything. Everybody had everything they needed because they grouped up. They took care of each other. There was no hierarchy. There were a people.
Mm.
And back in those days, they were building a people because they had certain causes, whether it was civil rights, whether it was women's rights, whatever it was, we going to gather to create a community where people can be safe and thrive.
Mm.
Over the years, I mean, you figure back in the day, churches were the hospital. It wasn't governments.
Right.
The churches were building hospitals. The churches were building schools. The churches were building all adoption centers and all kinds of places. I think around the late 70s into the 80s, when folks found that they can make money, that's when you saw the shift. We stop giving to community and we start taking from the community. We stop giving to the single mother and we start taking her rent money.
And wow.
In a prophetic line.
Wow.
There was a day where say she's a single mother. What she need? Have the deacons go over there, give her some food, have the deacons go over there and take care of her. Now we're going to take from her because she's easily manipulated. So if things have churned over time, once leaders start seeing this thing as a bag, then it changed the operation of the church. We're not giving anything anymore. We're taking everything. We're not even winning the block our church is on.
Ooh,
it's 4,000 churches in the city of Philadelphia. And we cry about the crime. Now, if we got that many people in Philadelphia, what we crying and praying for? If we are the people of God, then why are we next door having church? Why are we inviting each other to preach to each other? We bring sand to the beach. We trade money.
Preach.
You know, it's my anniversary. Come raise money for me. And next year I'm going to raise money for you. And it's a big fat game.
Yep.
And it's not what the Bible laid out. So it changed over time. So we were a benefit. I think we've become less of a benefit as capitalism has taken over the mindset of church people.
I agree wholeheartedly. Because if you think back, like you said, if we go back in the day, also there was the nuclear family. So the dad was in the house. Mm-hmm. So you had a whole family. We all going to church. Mm-hmm. And then the dad started thinking, like, hold on. I think we being manipulated here. He ain't going to church no more. Mom's still going because she's still listening to, because, I mean, she's emotional, easily manipulated, can, you know, be persuaded. So the moms have just been still just sitting in that church under the same tutelage. And the dad's like, nah, we ain't going back in there no more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's definitely.
Then they started manipulating the women to take care of the church more than their husband. So now I'm making a cake for the pastor. I ain't made one for my husband in years. I'm celebrating the pastor's anniversary, and we ain't even go out on our wedding anniversary. Or you saved up money to be a blessing to him, and you ain't bought me a hat for Father's Day in 15 years. And then you ask me why I want to go back, because you cheating on me with the church. The children, you taught the children to have more honor for the pastor than the father.
Now you ain't lying.
They talk to him better than the dad.
Yeah.
So that's all the things that happened there. And you know, we lost men. We didn't have to lose men. We just treated men bad in church.
Now I will agree with that. I agree with that.
We treated men bad in church. We talked about all their flaws because we knew that the emotional message to keep people was to the women.
Mm-hmm.
So we just kept them in
unless the men were like the pastor or the deacon, like somebody higher up. They didn't matter.
You wasn't worth nothing.
Dang.
So we didn't preach to fathers. And then another thing, men aren't built to sit in church and listen to a man all day. Men are built to build things. Men are built to take instruction and build things. Ain't nobody going to sit and listen to you for 40 years and say, I've been here for 40 years. Because a man wasn't built for that. Adam wasn't built to sit. He was built to build. And we got to build men to build, not to sit under me and call me bishop, apostle, and a whole lot of other titles that I don't deserve.
Not that I don't deserve.
Well, you know, it's true.
I mean, I'm with you when you're right. I'm with you when you're right. And you mentioned like how the churches, which I always find this weird, that you have all these churches and they all go to each other's church. I'm like, okay, so who are we saving? Who are we preaching to? The same people? This is not going anywhere.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know what people will hear, what people will say, what the religious will say listening to this podcast, what they've said about me? He hates the church. Well, did Paul hate the church? He wrote letters all the time. Did he hate the church? The church now can't take instruction from anybody.
Oh no.
So it's like Paul wrote letters then, but can't nobody say nothing now? Nobody can't say nothing. It's okay. I wrote him a love letter and then left.
Look, I'm gonna say it anyway. I know this is gonna be super offensive. You said the church can't take criticism?
Can't take instruction. Criticism or instruction.
Do you know what that's akin to?
What's that?
Oh, this is so offensive. But it's so true. Mm-hmm. The LGBT community. They can't.
I'm out.
I'm sorry. It's the same thing.
Yeah. Don't tell me nothing.
Hey, we can criticize y'all all day. You need to do what I say. You need to follow these instructions and don't offend me. But I can't take anything.
No.
From what you don't tell you. Mm-mm.
No. That's why I say the church now would have hated Paul and Jesus.
Ooh,
these church people now would have crucified Jesus today if he was here.
I'd be saying, what Bible do y'all read? What Jesus y'all follow? Because this ain't what he said.
No.
This ain't what he said, y'all. Mm-mm.
His faith didn't make us feel good. We want to feel good. His faith raised beasts. It took from them their wickedness. It took from them their weakness and gave them mission. We don't want that now. We want to be entertained. We want to feel good about whatever we're doing.
Yeah. Because a lot of people will say like, well, you're not supposed to hate people. You're not supposed to be mean. You're not supposed to. I'm like, y'all know he flipped tables. Y'all know some of y'all lineage wasn't supposed to make it, but somebody was disobedient. And now you're here and you're in this evil and it's tearing up shit.
Yes.
Like, no. Did you read Esther? Like, I'm sorry. Some people wasn't supposed to still be here.
Yep. Yep.
I don't know what book they be reading.
I don't know neither. What of the feel good book? I'm only gonna find the scriptures that say bless me. I don't want none of the joints that say break me, repent. None of that. I just want the joints that God is about to. I tell them all the time, God is not about to do anything. He's not. You have to go be right, fam. I ain't saying be perfect, but you walk. No, you can't. God is not about to do anything.
Yeah. So I hear a lot of people who may have been shunned from the church, or, you know, grew up in the church and they just don't want to go back or whatever. They always say that, and I'm one of them, somebody's, that church people are the most judgmental people they've ever met. Why do you think that is?
Why are church people so judgmental?
Mm-hmm.
To hide their own stuff.
Mm.
See, the scripture says this: we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The only thing you hear about in church is the blood of the Lamb. You never hear about somebody's testimony because we got an image to keep.
Mm.
So the old church mothers, they won't tell you when they got pregnant, when they were 16, they sent their babies down south.
Ooh,
but
wait.
You a whore if you do. Now.
Clock that.
You see what I'm saying? That they won't do that. So it's like, I'm not going to tell you I did it too. I'm going to tell you that ain't of God, baby. Mm. And you need to sit down. Well, you didn't sit down. You tucked your baby down South Carolina and act like you didn't have one. Right?
No.
They wiped your tears and said, be holy. And you went in there and sang back on the choir.
Mm.
See, but we want to preach the blood of the Lamb, not our testimony. And that's why we can't overcome. If we're going to overcome, we got to overcome by both, not one. Got to overcome by both. But we don't want to tell both, because then I'm worried about how you look at me.
Yep.
We become image bearers.
It's like, it's just weird. Like, y'all think that we think y'all just showed up like this. Like, y'all ain't go through nothing. Y'all ain't do nothing wrong. Y'all just always been like the mother of the church. No, yeah. We would actually respect you more if you just were honest and transparent and let us know like what it was. So maybe you can help us and help save us from some of the mistakes that you made.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. It. That's exactly it. But instead, I'd rather tell you get right, because Jesus going to come back.
I'm sorry.
No, but it's real. I mean, but if Jesus coming back, then help me get ready.
Right. You just going to leave me out here.
See, but we both going to go together. We both going. That's the truth. We both going to go together, because right. You didn't even try to help me. You wouldn't tell me the truth.
Right.
You know, that's how I was as a pastor. If I had a bad Sunday or a bad whatever, I would come in and I would make that part of my sermon. Like, yo, I wanted to run this bull off the road last night, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Cause how am I going to get up here and teach about changing your attitude? And I just tried to run somebody off the road last night, and I'm not going to make that part of my sermon today. I'm a fraud.
Mm.
Right? Experiential knowledge is the best knowledge, but I don't want to tell you I experienced it. Then where am I getting this knowledge from?
Right. Right.
No.
Yeah.
But I wasn't trying to keep an image. I'm trying to bear an image.
Mm. Well, you know, you're one in a million.
Just a guy.
Now it's all about the, and God, and man, shut up and just preach.
Well, we got that from Slave Church, and we're still doing Slave Church in 2025.
Oh, wait, I can't.
I understand why the slaves did church the way they did. We hucking and bucking. I understand why they did that. Because if your mother was getting, this is on YouTube, so we can't say all the words, but if your mother was getting taken by the master, mm-hmm. and you watch your child get taken, and then they made your family watch you get taken and beat and stabbed and all the other stuff, and tar and feathered and hung, mm-hmm. then your only hope is to holler, scream, jump, and hope for help, and mm-hmm. want to die to go to heaven. But in 2025, why are we still having slave front porch church where somebody jumping up screaming at us but not teaching us how to do life? Slaves, it was okay for the slaves, but the problem is we still in a black slave mentality. Mm-hmm. That's why we still doing the show and nobody's growing. But if we shouted, God was with us. But my Monday is trash and my Tuesday is trash and I can't pay the bills and I got low self-esteem and I'm on the edge of mental health and I can't raise my kids. But we're going to come up here and do this and everything all right.
Mm.
I think a lot of this is mental illness.
Ooh. Let me drink some water.
I do. I ain't saying, I'm not saying all praise, but I'm saying a lot of stuff we do, what I believe it is we go in a trance to try to forget. It's no different than other faiths in the Eastern world that will go smoke a pipe or whatever till they go into a trance and call it spiritual.
Well, some of us go into a dance and we call it spiritual, but it's really a trance to make me forget about what I won't confront.
I'm sorry. Can you put that comment up there? Simple Love 444 says exactly. The slave church has evolved. The apostles, bishops, pastors are the new slave masters. Ooh, the parishioners are the bond servants, aka slaves. Come on here.
Yeah.
Come on here.
I agree. And the band is the whip. The band is the whip. As soon as the preacher look at the band, doom, 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 and they start dancing. Right?
Listen, oh God, there's so many things I want to say. Oh my God. You listen, you are preaching today, Christian, okay? Hey,
I just want people to know what spirituality is.
Put that comment up there. She said, which is why they shout, jump, and dance on command. Mm-hmm. Woo, Lord. I was wondering why I never could dance at church, because I'm sitting there like, what's wrong with me? And I was wondering why my mom would dance every single Sunday. And I would be like, you ain't tired. You ain't got a breakthrough yet. What's happening? What's going on?
I'm just trying to grab some hope from somewhere to get through next week. I understand why it happened. And I don't blame the church people. I blame the leadership. I don't blame the church. They're following the leader. I blame the leadership. My beef is with leadership who lead according to their own issues and their own. I think a lot of leaders have low self-esteem. So a lot of this shouting and dancing they're making people do is for their own esteem. Just like the preachers that got to make everybody dance. That's because they don't think they're a good enough preacher. So if they danced, I did a good job. That's your own low self-esteem. See, a lot of leaders haven't addressed their own brokenness. And we call this the spirit of God. But a lot of things we're doing is to heal parts of us that never got healed. You can never get a girlfriend in eighth grade. So now I got a bunch of women and I can say, make a cake, put a dinner together. You see what I'm saying? We don't leaders don't heal. So a lot of stuff that comes out, we gotta siphon through what's spiritual and what's trying to heal my own brokenness.
Christian, listen, when we end this, I need you to stay on, because there's some stuff I need to say that I can't say on here, because you are hitting so much. You are hitting so many things right now.
I picked up that mic since I was 14 years old, and I've been through it all.
Can we have church in your studio?
Huh?
Can we have church in your studio?
Yeah, I got room over there.
I got people a chair.
You got one?
I do.
You could throw that in the tray.
No, my friend bought it for me as a going away gift.
All right, well, let it go away. Don't bring it to the studio church.
It's never been in the church.
All right, well, you gotta find one where they slam them. Well, all we do is work your brain.
It's an instrument.
You can hit it on your head.
It's not a church instrument. It's an instrument.
We're not having none of that.
I'm gonna be boots on the ground with my tambourine. What you talking about?
Okay.
Thank you. I don't even know where it's at. It's in a box somewhere. All right, Christian.
Yes, ma'am.
What advice would you give to someone like me who is extremely, and like you, apprehensive about going to church?
There's nothing wrong with going to church. It's you got to find a place that will help you develop and launch who you are, not who they need you to be. You see, when Jesus found the disciples, he was not even, they followed him to become themselves. Wow. I want to say that again. That never hit my mind.
Wow.
They followed Jesus to become themselves. Their best self. That's what we're in. So if you want to find a church, you got to find leadership and ministry that helps you become your best self, not a member. Jesus didn't even have members. He had disciples. There's no such thing as membership. When I pastored, my staff used to get mad at me all the time because I never did. Y'all want to join the church? Because I never cared. Who cares? Come through. Don't come through. It don't matter. Y'all not my people. So for 24 years, I stood up and prepared people to be themselves. That's why, even though I retired, all my members out there, they running businesses, they doing podcasts, they doing this and that to touch the world. So that's the goal. You can't even find a scripture that Jesus ever said worship him. He never said it. In 66 books, you never find a space where Jesus said worship him. He said, follow me and I'll make you. Ain't that what the book say?
That's what it says.
He didn't say I'll make you me.
Wow.
Follow me and I'll make you everything you didn't think you were. That's preaching. That's teaching. That's development. That's discipleship.
I should have brought my notebook. At least I can go back and watch this and take notes.
Yeah, because I won't remember anything I said after this.
It's being recorded. This is good. That's good. Because I do go to church on YouTube. Because I really do like Pastor Darius Daniels from Change Church. Shout out to PD. I think he's an amazing teacher. I like him.
There you go.
Now, would I ever go in the church? I don't know.
Listen, get what you need. And the truth is this, D. You're very gifted. You're very loving. You care about people. What happens is you take what you get and you create church for people.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? That's what we do on our podcast. We create church for people right there.
Yeah.
Right. I got 3,000 men on my podcast. I wouldn't never be able to get 3,000 men in a building.
That's good.
You see what I'm saying? And what am I doing? I'm giving them the principles of life and how to do marriage better and how to do daddy better and how to do all these things better. Mm-hmm. That's love. That's church.
That's church.
That's fellowship. Without no offerings.
I mean, we take Cash App, but
we just don't demand it, right?
Right.
We not. It's Cash App time in the building.
Close the doors.
We not close. Lock them.
We got to do that. So what advice would you give to the church to help them bridge the gap with this current generation who's very apprehensive about going to church?
It's simple. See, people have all kinds of state of the church meetings and all these deep people come in. It's really simple. Do church like Jesus did and you'll touch the world. Do church like you do and they'll hate you. Jesus was the coolest boy around.
Right.
Everybody wanted to be around homie. The drunks, the prostitutes, everybody wanted to hang around dude. Don't tell me that, nobody want to come to church because they don't want to be whatever. Well, why did everybody want to hang around Jesus? And nobody want to hang around you. You see what I'm saying? When I had my church, I had probably 40% men in my church.
Wow.
Men. I'm talking about men, hood men. Real, at my church because it was like, this boy relates to us. He empowers us to go be and do. So it's not hard. If you want that next generation, you want to win them people, stop trying to win them to church, win them to Jesus by telling them who they are, what their value is. The reason the murder rate is so high in these cities is because people don't know who they are. And if I don't know who I am, then it don't matter for me to take your life because you don't know who you are and neither one of us have purpose. So piss me off and you're done.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? That's all it is. So if we start speaking into these people's lives and showing them that they have more power than the pistol, then you can start seeing lives change. It is really simple. Do it like Jesus did. Do projects. Have them people doing something. Show them their gift. You'll bring them. Keep on trying to manipulate them. They not coming.
They not coming. Mm-mm. All of the, if we sing this kind of song, we do listen to music, we going to reach them where they at. That's not going to keep them there because now what you got to do next? And keep then next. Coming. We're not swagging and surfing every Sunday. So now what you going to do? And it's not going to work.
No. Just do the ministry of Jesus. It's really simple. The reason why we don't want to do the ministry of Jesus is because there's no celebrity in that. There's no celebrity in it.
You ain't lying.
Ain't no seating.
Mm.
it's not three chairs on the pulpit with the guy in the middle and the two thieves on both sides.
Oh my God. Not the two thieves on the side. Oh my goodness.
Think about it. You think Jesus would sit in a special seat if he came in the church building?
No.
No. He wouldn't do any of the stuff we do.
He'd be like, take that stuff down. What are we doing?
I went in a man's church and did that one time. Oh. Seriously. I'm not lying.
That's why they put you out.
And guess what? They put me out their church, but be in my inbox trying to figure out how to do this thing. I made a man rearrange his whole thing. I said, why do you sit there? That's the problem why this thing won't grow. You made yourself God in this church. Mm. I met another brother that had pictures of himself on the speakers. I said, they hear your voice, not God's. If you move the stickers, they might hear God.
Why would you? Oh, this is disturbing.
It's because this is spiritual stuff that they think is cute, but it's really inviting the demonic presence into their building. Mm-hmm. And that's why you need real apostles. I am an apostle. I am. I know that. I accept that now. Because I'm unafraid to put people. That's what apostles do. They put people on course. And I don't need a funny hat and a gold chain and none of that to be an apostle.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
Spent more money on them outfits than we do on evangelism.
Woo! Y'all better go on Amazon. Listen, I can't do it. I can't do it. Oh my God, I got so many things I need to talk to you about after this. Oh my gosh, this is crazy. You preaching today, Christian. So do you believe that the church teaches more about fear or love?
Fear.
Absolutely.
Me too. They feared us in. Come to Jesus because you might die when you leave here. You might go outside and get hit by a bus. You need to do it right now. Stop.
You're going to be left when the rapture comes. You ain't going to be here. You're going to be left behind.
You feared me in.
Mm.
You fear me through. I live in fear the whole time.
Yeah.
And you know what the biggest fear that's ushered in?
What's that?
Being yourself.
Mm.
That's what they make you scared of.
Yes.
Be the bots that we've become.
Mm.
Ain't no room for you. Ain't no room in the end for you. Now we'll make room if you become like us.
Yeah.
That's why you don't see all the gifts in the church. If you're not a preacher, on a band, can sing, be an usher, it's no room for you.
Mm. Wow.
So that's why you have all these people trying to be preachers that ain't called to be it. You got all these people to sing, they can't sing. You see, because they're trying to find a place that's acceptable in there.
Yeah.
And they forget that we're seated at the right hand of the Father in holy places. From here, I can do anything. In here, I got to obey your rules, not God's.
Oh, wait.
So that's why you got all the young people leave church to use their gift because they couldn't use it in there. You wouldn't let them be them.
Absolutely.
Jesus let the disciples be themselves. That's why they changed the world. There was only 12 of them. Mm. Let them be themselves.
Wow. Can you put that question up for Christian? Christian, what made you write the book 1441?
Mm. What made me write 1441? Well, you mind if I read it?
Of course not. Please.
My hope is that this book causes you to dissect the time you've spent serving in church and to determine how much of it has advanced the biblical mission Jesus left for us to accomplish. Always remember this, my friends. Truth is what God said. Religion is what man said God said. Mm-hmm. Becoming the person of your dreams is not something you wish for. It is something you're changed into. I have served God in the church and teaching ministry since 14. I traveled internationally, pastored churches until I was prompted to stop at age 41 and consider whether the church has kept the mission Jesus died for. After much anguish and hesitation, I had to admit that we have not. I believe there is an indictment against the church for its disregard of the mandate of Jesus founded the church upon. My ultimate question is, have we built God's church or our own? Has branding ourselves taken the focus away from the Great Commission? I fear that we have fallen more in love with the culture of our churches, denominations, and celebrations than the mandate of Jesus Christ, which was to love extravagantly, serve relentlessly.
This book is a journey of my life and leadership from 14 to 41 and how the story of Nehemiah inspired me to leave the comforts of our churches and serve people outside of ourselves that we've had the walls and gates of their lives burned down. No fear, no shame, no compromise.
Mm.
We haven't been doing God's work. And that book, I wrote that book to wake people up that we have created our own thing. Shadow kingdom. Mm. Built a shadow kingdom that has nothing to do with God.
Wow. That's good, Christian. That was good.
Thank you.
Put your question up there. This guy. Lee Malloy says, when did tithes become monetary gross instead of service and time?
That's for me. Yeah. Are you going to answer that
one? Ooh, you know, well, and listen. Well, I guess if we go back to the church itself, if we weren't in a church, we wouldn't mm-hmm. really need the monetary, right?
Yeah, we would to launch the ideas. Yeah, we would to launch the ideas and purposes of people. I think the tithe thing is really when we hear about the 10%, that's really minuscule, mm-hmm. right? The tithe, the 10th was just something to be put out there as something you should be doing. But when you really are yourself and being yourself in Christ, your ministry explodes, your life explodes, and you have way more money. You have way more time and you have way more to give. So it's not about the arguing about the 10th. It's about how do I become all I'm supposed to become so I can prosper and give whatever to whoever at any time. Mm-hmm. So that the 10th is a very small argument that people have been arguing about for years. The goal is to find yourself that you can explode your life to a place where you can just do whatever. You can find hurts and heal them, find needs and fill them, whatever they are. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that because I think a lot of times people will argue about the tithes, mm-hmm. but they aren't giving anything anywhere.
Yeah.
So they're, absolutely. I mean, like, so what is the argument about? Do you want to help people or you just don't want to give the tithe?
Listen, and that's the facts, because I had a guy at my church who used to always want to debate about the tithe. And one day I asked the financial team, I said, does he ever give anything? They said, no, he hasn't given more than $3 to this church in a year's time.
And my thing is, even if you're not giving the church, are you doing something in your community? Are you doing something somewhere else that you're providing something for somebody who is less fortunate or anything? Like, what are you complaining about?
I guarantee you they're not. People who hate the tithe, they just hate giving, period. Yeah. They're selfish people.
Yeah.
Because surely they wouldn't debate you over being blessed. They don't need any clearer understanding of being blessed, but I need you to be a theology student to explain why I need to give.
Exactly. Yeah. You know.
Waste no time.
People. Hmm. People. Let me see. So how can we heal from trauma or hurt from the church?
Discover yourself. So your identity is not in people and what they think and what they feel and what they said and what they heard God said about you, is if you can't mm-hmm. hear God for yourself. Get to know you and your God and not the church and the God they made up or the God that sits on the pulpit every Sunday. Mm. God wants you to discover you. There was a plan for your life before your church existed. The Bible says, I knew you before you were ever born. Mm-hmm. So if I had a plan before I came out of my mother's womb, then why mm-hmm. am I debating that group of people about me? I'm not going to do it. But I need to discover who God said I am. Once you do that, the debate is gone.
Mm.
The debate is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of churches want you to be less of yourself.
Woo.
To this benefit thing. Them.
Yeah. And that's one thing that I think that this generation gets right. They ask why. They ask questions. They don't just go along with, well, my mom said I got to do it, so I'm going to believe this. They actually ask questions. And they actually do, when it comes to spiritual things, they are very adamant about what they believe.
Yes.
And what they're going to follow. That's one thing they got right.
They do. And I honor that. Yeah. I honor that. And if I can ever show them that Christ agrees with them, then they'll be willing to be Christian people and follow Jesus Christ. They think Jesus Christ is against them because we taught them Jesus Christ is a judge, not a leader.
Most of them. I will. My son, I'm just like, well, his dad is very spiritual. Mm-hmm. And he's all, I didn't know that this was happening because they talk every night, of course, outside mm-hmm. of me. That's none of my business. That's men's business. And he was always pouring into him night after night. So my son is very spiritual. Like he's 15 and he doesn't go anywhere without his live action Bible. Like he's reading. He won't even talk to me in the morning until he pray. Like he look at me like, ma'am, get out. He can pray and read his Bible. So he's very into learning and just researching and talking to his dad about what he learned in the Bible and stuff. So I find that very intriguing because I wasn't like that. I was forced to read it. I was forced to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
So my last two questions for you, Christian, and I ask all my guests the same two questions. Mm-hmm. What has been some of the best advice you've ever received?
Some of the best advice I ever received. Mm-hmm. I think some of the best advice I ever received was to ignore people that will slow you down. Yeah, ignore people that will slow you down. This is another one that I didn't learn this one. Well, God gave it to me. Anybody committed to keeping you in your past needs to stay there.
My God. That's a good one. That's a bar. And I don't have no beats.
You don't got no beats, man. You get beats.
That's good. Okay, my last question.
Yes, ma'am.
What advice would you give 15-year-old Christian?
Know who deserves you.
My goodness. Jesus.
Know who doesn't. And don't apologize. See, I gave like my life to everything and everybody. I'm just gathering myself at 45 years old.
That
14 to 41 was real. All those years belonged to the world, to people, to everybody. I'd have stopped myself at 15 and had better assessment of who deserves me, my time, my effort. Who doesn't?
Wow.
And don't apologize.
That's deep.
Yeah.
Dang, I could take that advice. I'm glad I got this. It's a lot of notes I need to take from this episode. Jeez. These clips gonna be good.
clip it up.
Listen, I'm gonna tell you, I appreciate you. This has been such an amazing episode. You are so knowledgeable, easy to understand. You make it plain. We ain't gotta try to figure it out. You don't sugarcoat. I love that. You are amazing. I appreciate you for coming on the show.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And I just want you to let people know how they can follow you. If you have anything coming up that you want to promote, if you have books that you want to promote, let the people know.
I want to say this. Something today was amazing and coming on here was amazing. Something happened to me today.
Okay.
So, you know, guys out there, I have 3 podcasts, right? And this is not applaudable. Don't applaud this at all. I have the Dear Brother podcast, the Dear Sister podcast, and the Rested Leader podcast. I learned something about myself that all those podcasts really are a picture of scattered me, unwilling to be myself. Just again, I was becoming what everybody needs. This is what men need. This is what women need. This is it. And today I took the Dear Brother podcast and turned it into the Christian Winters podcast. So I can just be me because I can speak to anybody from the man eating out the trash can to the man owning the Fortune 500 company to anybody. But I was scared to be myself. Again, I slipped into that place of be what everybody else needs. I had a breakthrough today, was just to do the Christian Winters podcast where I can just share my wisdom and share my knowledge on any plane. Because today I stopped being afraid to be fully me at 45 years old. So go to the Christian Winters podcast.
Good job.
You'll see it there. You can visit my website, christianwinters.com. That's where all my books are. It's a few books on there. I got the Dear Brother. I wrote 2 books to men, Home, Where Hurt Men Heal, and Dear Brother, The Blueprint to Becoming the Man of Your Own Dreams. have a book for women right here called The Soul of Sarah. I have a free download book. I taught a series called Removing the Shame from Your Life, and I wrote an ebook to follow that series. That's free. You can go get that right now. But go to ChristianWinners.com. You can sign up for coaching and anything else you want to do. So, yeah.
You're amazing.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
You're very really welcome.
Really enjoyed this time.
Oh, what's that comment down there? You don't want me to see? Okay. I appreciate y'all in the comments. This was really a great episode. And I hope that in the future, we will have more open dialogue about trauma. Because I think in the Black community, we don't talk about it enough. I think that, but I don't want to just talk about trauma. I want to talk about how we heal from it. I want to talk to people who have healed from it or who are in the process of healing from it. So that is my mission. That is what I desire to do, especially since I've dropped my book, Breaking the Cycle of Childhood Trauma, because I believe that most of our trauma stems from our childhood and our past. So y'all can find my book on Amazon or on my website, thecorequeen.com/book. You can get it anywhere, anytime. Hook your girl up. Leave a review on Amazon for me so I can become a best-selling author like Christian. And
I got that book, y'all. I got that book. It's right over there on my other desk. So y'all go get it. It's a tight read.
Please go get the book. It just dropped on June 3rd, and I have been getting a lot of great feedback from it. I'm excited to just finally be transparent about who I am. So Christian, you discovering yourself, I'm discovering myself too. So we discovering over here. So it's a very therapeutic process, and I'm just excited about it. Y'all can follow me on all my platforms. I'm Dee Dee Leggett on Facebook, on Instagram, or The Core Queen on my fitness pages, because I am a fitness coach as well. I have so many things happening, so I don't want to go down a laundry list of stuff that I have happening. The most important thing right now to me is my book and supporting that. And of course, this platform, The Core Queen Chat. If you want to be a guest, let me know. I have some openings in July for some guests. And I look forward to speaking to you guys and engaging with you. And if you haven't yet joined my group on Facebook, it's the same title as my book, Breaking the Trauma of Childhood Trauma, because I want to actually dissect the book chapter by chapter and just go through it and just get feedback from people, or even just talking to you about some trauma that you might have been going through. It's a private group. I want people to feel safe in there to talk about whatever they want to talk about from their childhood if they don't feel safe somewhere else. But it's time to open up the dialogue and start healing. Y'all, we'll be back next week, same time. Well, no, we won't. We'll be back on Wednesday, the regular time, on Wednesday, 8:30 on YouTube and on Facebook Live. I'll have a woman on the show, because I think I've had men the last few weeks. So we'll finally have a woman on the show to talk about some stuff, and I'm excited about that. I appreciate y'all for joining the show. Please subscribe to my YouTube channel, The Core Queen Chat. Hit the subscribe button. Like, share, comment, tell people about the show. And also make sure you can watch all of my past episodes on thebricktv.com and all of our Black TV shows that we love growing up on. All of those things are on that platform. It's the only Black streaming platform out there, thebricktv.com. Check it out, y'all. Y'all will love the platform. I appreciate y'all. We are out. Chris.
Are you a content creator looking for a space to create and elevate your brand? Well, look no further. The Core Queen Podcast Studios is now open. Core Queen Podcast Studios offers spaces for content creators to record or to live stream their podcasts. Whether you're an aspiring creator or you're a seasoned vet, the Core Queen Podcast Studios is here for all your content creator needs. Visit CoreQueenPodcastStudio.com for more info. That's CoreQueenPodcastStudio.com today.